Whew, windy today.
Oh, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's go have a drink. Welcome to Brookings Cafe. There's just no telling who might be here today as we venture in to quench our thirst. We call it our Great American Debate. We come to the discussion in the spirit of fairness and an attempt to offer something conclusive. We don't claim to be experts, but we will strive to come to the table prepared to discuss our topic. We are going to extend invitations to those we think may offer an opposing point of view, and in some cases we may extend a challenge to specific people or groups to defend their point of view. Beware, we fact-check anything that sounds questionable, and we look dimly on mere opinions that aren't based in knowledge. We are trying to reach some sort of a resolution, something that both sides can settle on as an idea worth promoting. We have all heard about fake news. So then, what is real news? Where do you go to find out what is really happening? When the earthquake hits, where are you going to turn to get the information you need? Today, homegrown news sources are everywhere, with theories on why the world is so crazy. The scary part is that the news seems to be tailoring itself to what you want to hear. You could easily find yourself living in a bubble of the news you want to hear. Meanwhile, the rest of the world goes on without you. So the question is, what is real news? I'm Dan.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Boyd.
I'm Lori.
I'm Rick.
I'm Mary.
And so let me throw this out as just kind of a starting point. Traditionally, we have relied on the major news sources, the major newspapers, the TV networks, and our own hometown newspapers and radio and sometimes TV. But now various online offerings tailor our preferences. If you are an anti-abortion supporter, the articles you receive will be those against abortion. Gun rights? Your email will be loaded with the latest, greatest bullet-flinging arguments against gun control. If we are going to only receive the news that we agree with, where does that leave the reality of the world that we live in? Anybody want to start?
Well, for openers, one of the things that's happened with news is we get it from everywhere and we get it very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge contrast to, say, a century ago, where it took 2 weeks to get something from Washington to Pennsylvania and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This means that there are a great many people who get to think the same thing at the same time by listening to the same stuff. And that tends to be a great advantage for some manufacturers and some people that sell various things, political ideas and what have you. And this is, it's just a whole new aspect of communications.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, Rick, that I remember reading about Mike Zuckerberg when he started Facebook, and one of his goals was to connect the world in a way, like you just said, that you can share information across the world so quickly and have a community online and share that with each other.
You know, years ago, they only had the three channels on TV. That's all they had. And so everybody was kind of getting the same news, and you didn't have this great divide in the country. Everybody kind of got the same news. Nowadays, you know, you can get news from very unreliable sources, and you can believe they're true, you know, if you want to. So personally, I like to read a lot of just different points of view, you know, different. If I read about something that's happening in the news, then I want to check it out with a lot of different points of view to see if there's a consensus on it.
But that takes critical thinking, Mary. And a lot of people don't have that skill these days. People don't think, they're not thoughtful. And information is not necessarily news. I mean, you're talking about where do we get our news? Well, we get our information in the same place that we get our news. And so I'm wondering, is there a differentiation between information and news? I mean, I think there is. You ask, where do we get news? What happens if the earthquake hits? Well, I would go to Caltech and I would look at the earthquake map that was going on, and I would see firsthand in real time. I would get the information as to how big the quake was. Are there aftershocks? Is there a tsunami that's going to be hitting? You know, what's going on? And to me, all that information that's out there just gives me an opportunity to check it, to double check the sources. And that's, again, it goes back to critical thinking and being responsible for your information.
So you would go to Caltech and you would consider that to be a credible source.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But there are so many sources today, and so many people believe in other sources of information.
Well, facts are facts. Facts don't change. If there's an earthquake, it's going to hit, and there's going to be a seismic number attached to it. So that's not going to be that you can't question that happened. Now, you might question a news organization going in and trying to sensationalize something, and that certainly does happen. And, you know, you talk about getting information instantaneously. You were talking about that, Rick. Well, I was working in TV news back in the day when microwaves first came in and we were first on the spot. And I can tell you that most stories were thoughtfully done, but when we were out there racing the competition trying to get a scoop, facts weren't necessarily double-checked the way they should be. And so there was always an admonition at the beginning that, you know, this is a story that's developing, we don't have all of our facts. I don't think that's done as often anymore, and opinion sometimes gets mistaken for news.
Yeah, and I think everyone, news is free now, and you get what you pay for. And a lot of times when you're on the internet, you're getting stuff that people are doing with ulterior motives. They're not getting paid to double check. They're not getting paid to make sure they have the facts right. They don't have editorial policies. They're getting that story out there in order to persuade you in a direction they want. That's their goal. And it seems strange to say it, but you're actually safer if someone's getting paid to get it right than you are to play into somebody else who's doing it for power.
There are so many different individuals, people who have, they put up a backdrop in the spare bedroom and they've got a camera set up and a microphone on the table and they look just as official as they can be, but they're essentially just an opinion show of some sort, and yet they offer information as if it was news, and in some cases they offer information with a definite slant to it. I don't really know where to put Alex Jones in all of this.
Professional wrestler.
Okay. I mean, you know, he pleaded, I think, his case to the judge over the divorce that he wasn't really a nut. It was all just a show. And I don't know how that one's flying today. But he's one of those examples of people who have their own particular opinion, and they don't state any facts other than what they just happen to gather in their own, and again, it's this kind of a thing where, you know, there's that line from Simon and Garfunkel's The Boxer that says, "Still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest." And so that's one of the mechanical things that's in there, is that our own filter systems get in the way of what it is that we're taking in as far as information. But then the other one is whoever's sending it out. And that's why, to me, when I talk about, you know, where does that leave us as far as the reality of the world that we live in? Because if you're listening to Alex Jones and your whole reality comes from that, then you're living in a bubble. You're living in a little tiny bubble of his reality.
You know, you were saying that earlier, we were talking about the fact that we used to get our information from basically the three networks and or a couple of national newspapers like the Washington Post or the New York Times, and local news. And if you look at, I always look at the rundowns or what the headlines are, right? So if you looked at the rundowns of ABC, NBC, and CBS News back in the 70s and 80s, you'd basically see the same stories. Mm-hmm. Everybody was running the same stories. And so that was really the news of the day. Today, if you look at MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News, they're very different rundowns. They're In fact, I check out Fox News often because I think it's important to look at what everybody's listening to. And I'm stunned by what they lead with, that it's not necessarily what the other networks are going with at all. So that's where I would look first, is to, you know, if you see the same stories being covered, you know that that's real news.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of interesting, very basic things. Number one is that a government like a democracy has to have a fairly sophisticated bunch of people to support it and use it for it to be useful. And the second thing is that now a great many things you see specify, we're going to educate you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an implication that I'm not quite sure what it is, but basically an education is an independent thing. And what happens with other people who are broadcasting things is they're informing you. Your education tells you how to deal with it, but the information is not an education. So this is a curiosity.
Yeah. Also, I think the news sometimes is now intermixed with entertainment so much. Like, news stories have their own theme music sometimes, and you know, it's sensationalism, and it gets you all pumped up, and so you want to watch more and more. And like the 10 o'clock news will say at 6 o'clock, well, some horrible disease has just spread throughout the country, and then all of a sudden, oh, we'll tell you the rest at 10, and things like that to make you just crave it more and more. And I think it's a real disservice to our country that that's happened, but they have to make money, and they don't know how, I think, to function without ratings. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can talk to that because I not only worked in a newsroom, in a television newsroom, but I also started working for the promotion department. And when we started sponsoring our newscasts, when the FCC said that you did not have to have equal time for candidates, when rules went away, a lot of rules went out the door. And so it was a real heartache for the people in the newsroom who thought that news should be sacrosanct. It should not have been touched. But we were told that we had to. So for instance, the car dealerships bought a huge buy on the station. So we were mandated to go out and do a story on one of the car dealerships. That kind of stuff. So when news becomes sponsor driven, which is what it has become a lot of, the purity gets taken away, and that's a real shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are other aspects of news. President Trump said Amazon should be paying taxes. All of a sudden, their stock took a dive. Now, stuff like this is done purposefully, just for people to make, you know, profit in stock transactions. And although this stuff is news, it's real news, but it's very, very pointed towards a specific effect.
So a couple of things. You guys bring up a lot of good points. So stepping back to your original conversation about the Fox and CNN and, you know, the big three news sources and how, and nowadays there are big spins on it. It's in every profession, for sure. And earlier what you said, Mary, it comes down, both of you said, to a responsibility on our part. So I'm a veterinarian by profession, and I have my education, my information, and I pass that information on to people. Of course, I have my way that I deliver it and my beliefs about it from my education, and it's going to vary from vet to vet. However, a reputable veterinarian that, you know, we have six vets at our practice, that they have the same mission, and they believe in a basic fact, even though that their delivery might be slightly different, as every professional's is. And our facts are substantiated on research, and honestly, back to what you said in the beginning, Lori, university work, because in a university, especially when you're educating others, you want to be objective, you fact check like crazy, and you're getting to the root of a lot of things. And when it comes down to either a disagreement or a discussion, oftentimes we're looking up research. Most of the time the research is done by a university. So bringing that back to from my profession over to the news sources, they're going to have their own spin on it. But what I want to see is where they're substantiating it, what fact is that coming from, and responsibly taking that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And I think that was mostly on that one. And then on the advertising part, so having an influence on the news sources. Same with in veterinary medicine, that we have companies that make our products. We have a lot of companies that we sell from more than others, and we have to be responsible at saying, you know, I believe in this product because of the research they do. That's why we sell certain food brands, and you have to stand by that. So how do you know, as a community member coming to me, that we do that? Well, I want you to ask me, where do you get, why do you sell these products? Where do you get your information from? Mm-hmm. And I would be honored to present that to you. So I think we should demand that of our news sources as well.
And that's another phenomenon. This is slightly off topic, but still I think is basically apropos, which is, I know that I'm one of the people who does this. I go on the internet, I Google my particular condition or what I think it is, and then I go into my doctor and I say, yeah, I think maybe I've got hydronephrosis. And he says, yeah, where'd you get that? On Google. And so,
Dr.
I mean,
Google.
Yeah, and that's that's a nice term. So, and that, but that is one of the other things about reality is, you know, am I really going to die of whatever, or did I just get all bent out of shape because somebody has fed me some article that is obviously not true? I wanted to go back just a little bit to ask the question. We talked about the three major networks, and of course there were, in my hometown, there were two newspapers. And then, of course, there were the majors in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Were these entities biased? Were they telling us the truth then? You know, a lot of the things that I read now, maybe mm-hmm. such and such wasn't really true.
If they had strong editorial policies, they were telling the truth. And I think, especially in earlier times, what mm-hmm. you could count on, and it's something that Lori was talking about too, is there's an earthquake. She goes to the place that's going to have the number right off the bat. Mm-hmm. She's going to go to the university that measures the earthquake, that puts it out before the news service even gets it. That's a primary source. Newspapers, for the most part today, still have reporters that go to primary sources.
Right.
Now, will the editorial page lean a little left or a little right? Absolutely. And a lot of times back when things were better for newspapers, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, a lot of cities had two newspapers, and you read both newspapers. One's editorial page leaned a little left, the other one leaned a little right, mm-hmm. but you trusted the facts on the front page in either paper.
Right.
The problem now, even if you go to TV, television news used to be an anchor with reporters in the field reporting primary sourced facts and then signing off. Now if you go to CNN, there's a ringleader and 12 people, and everyone's got their opinion and everyone's arguing back and forth, and none of them are a primary source. And so you're a level away from primary sources, and every time you get a level away from primary sources, you're getting skewed data.
Right.
And something even more dangerous, Boyd, is that the people that are being put up in the circus are not subject matter experts. They're just people with an opinion, and often they're not well versed in what they're talking about. They don't have the facts. They just have their opinion. And so that's a danger. It's a real danger because they're being presented as subject matter experts, and they're not.
Sure. So then I wonder how we get the right people, and just like any other profession, I would think that, you know, you want good teachers, we'll pay them well. You want the people out there that are the primary sources. I guess, how do we support them, or how do we reinforce that in our new sources, and what can we do to get what we need?
I think a lot of times they don't want the primary sources up there, Jesse, because they're looking to make money and fill time, and they're not necessarily looking to do a service. Back in the day, news was a service. And when you turned on the television and invited Walter Cronkite into your home, you knew that you were getting someone who was clean, and what he was giving you was clean information. Nowadays, you know, you turn on your television set and you invite someone into your room, and often they're screaming and yelling and again, not factual information. They're not subject matter experts. And so critical thinking is really important. It's really important.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn to, well, no, let me go to one of these questions first. Do you think that the media basically has gotten a bad rap? You hear a lot today about this particular media is fake news and this particular media is biased this way and you know, it's CNN versus Fox News and they both have reporting the same thing in theory, but their stories are different. But do you think that overall, what I would call the mainstream media, has it gotten a bad rap? Is it under attack for a legitimate reason or an illegitimate reason? What's the story here?
Mainstream media, one of the things that's happened is newspapers are collapsing because of online availability of news, and economics are desperately affecting the way they function now. That's one thing, and that's not a very good thing. There are some biases. Everyone has a bias implicit. It's a question of degree. That's really what it is, and being able to recognize a bias and account for it is something that is not often done, at least as often as it should be. But the commercialism aspect of things is making it very difficult to get through and let the bias be used so it's known and taken into account by people who are looking at whatever the information being presented is.
And also the bias is led by so many blatant misstatements, falsehoods, lies. And I think it caught the media off guard because they were just trying to state what somebody said and step away from any judgments. And so all these lies came out and they reported them, you know, as this is what happened. And nobody stopped to say, wait a minute, you know, let's do something and try to check it out. And so now media is trying to go back and check it out, and who do you trust, you know? That's
mm-hmm. alternate facts.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. serves politicians well to have all media thrown into the same bucket.
Yeah.
And what they've done, much more so recently than ever before, I think, is you look at Facebook, and you know there's things on Facebook that are just utterly ridiculous. And if you look at the source that doesn't have a writer's name, mm-hmm. it isn't from a publication that you've ever heard of before, but it's out there and it gets into the mainstream. And what politicians have very sneakily done is they've said, well, yeah, there's tons of fake news out there. Look at this fake news and look at that fake news. And it's the New York Times, too, and it's the Washington Post, too. And CNN, I think, has played into a lot of that because they've gone away from primary source reporting and they've gone to those talking heads that are beating on politicians. And so the politicians are defending themselves by putting all this in the same bucket. It doesn't deserve to be in the same bucket. And I don't think media is fighting back hard enough to separate what is and isn't real.
Yeah, but I also think that media has created its own monster. And especially television news, because that's what I'm most familiar with. But television news, with TV, you get something that you don't have with a newspaper or with radio. You get sight, sound, motion, and emotion. And you add some music to something, and you can change the whole feel of what it is that you're looking at. So television does that really well, and I know that, again, things changed in the 80s and 90s for TV news. I was there. I watched it. I was part of it. And what happened was we got enthralled with the medium rather than focusing on the message. And so the fact that you're used to getting your information in 1.5, 2-minute bits of video pieces makes it easy to replicate that in a dangerous way. On Facebook and on other media. But again, I think that, you know, it was complicit because they were looking for eyeballs. They wanted eyeballs. And if it bleeds, it leads was one of the mm-hmm. things that we always were, that was one of the mantras. You know, we covered car accidents because people liked seeing blood and guts. And I think it desensitized the audience and it started them down a road that was really easy to, it's easy to see how we got here. It's sad, but easy to see.
So it's more 30-second sound bites and sensationalism, and that's, is that the bias? Is the story still getting through?
Well, you know, you always, I can only speak for myself, and there were always reporters who were grumbling about the fact that news was not sacred anymore, and it, because it used to be that news was part of a station, but it wasn't there to make money. Mm-hmm. And then what local TV station owners found was that local news was a cash friggin' cow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can sponsor the weather, you can sponsor the sports, you can sponsor the A block. It was a cash cow, and so, you know, greed is corruptive and corrosive, and so here we are. Yeah. Here we are questioning our newscasters, which is really a shame.
So where do we go from here?
Well, the trust has been lost. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I go to Dan Rather, I go to PBS, I go to the Washington Post, I go to the New York Times, and I double check. I read The Hill, I read The Guardian, but I always double check, and I'll look for bylines. Like, I know, for instance, that Maggie Haberman's a good reporter, so I'll trust everything that she says. But you know, that comes with just, again, critical thinking and doing your homework.
I'll second that. That's usually the sources that we do and double check. And yeah, I'd agree with that.
There used to be a newspaper motto, we only print the news that's fit to print. Mm-hmm. Now, if that happened today, there'd be a whole lot of stations not broadcasting anymore. That's quite peculiar.
So would it help if we just separated the money from the news? If we just went in and said, okay, this is your news department and you can kiss your advertising dollars goodbye because it's a bad influence on you? And is that kind of like asking politicians to not take money from certain sources?
Well, the horse is out of the barn at this point. I mean, you can't go back to the way it was. I guess you could, but it would take a lot.
Well, and the powers that be don't want it to go back.
No, they're making money.
And they're making less regulations instead of trying to, you know, make these people accountable for what they say. So I'm kind of worried here.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be you had to do it. It was legally required that if you had a TV station, you had to do the news, and it had to be fair and balanced, and it was required. And when they dropped those requirements and they let these things happen, as you said, it's out of the bag now, and it's, well, you'd have to go back and re-regulate it, and I haven't seen any impetus or push to do that. And when you look at television news now, they use the newspaper as their sources. Most of everything on CNN, they say, well, the Washington Post today or New York Times today, because they laid off all their reporters because they can make money without them. And you know, newspapers having a heck of a time getting advertising to pay for itself, because an ad in the newspaper isn't very glamorous, and therefore they start laying off reporters. And eventually, no one's going to the primary source. You're getting everything on that third, fourth level. It's a mess.
Well, not only that, but CNN and a lot of local stations are now looking to citizen reporters. So they're, people with an iPhone are out there, you know, shooting a video of something, and then they'll send it to the newsroom without. And the problem is that content is not put into context, and that to me is the most important. And Boyd, argue with me or agree with me, please, here. But a reporter's job is to put content into context for the viewer or the reader.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I go to a meeting, I might sit in at a meeting for 3 hours, and if I put the entire minutes into the newspaper, nobody would read that. I have to get to what are the important things that happened in the meeting, and I don't do them in order. What happens at the port that I report in the newspaper doesn't happen in the order that it happened at the port meeting. The stuff that is more important to the community comes first. The other stuff gets summarized. So there's context and there's organization there that gets the news you need, but it's not biased in the sense that the paper should be picking sides and leaving things out to make it look better for one side or the other. But, you know, I totally agree with you. And the problem is that you don't get a lot of that context now. And a lot of community newspapers have turned into that community journalism where you have the bank president's husband writing an article for the newspaper about how wonderful the bank president is. Clearly, since they're married, there's a little bias there, but they put it in the newspaper and fill space anyway.
So if you're talking about going to the primary news sources, and now those primary news sources are drying up, and I'm trying to remember who told me this once, that this is one of the problems with news on the internet, is that where are they getting it? Well, they're getting it from the newspapers and the TV stations and so on. They don't have their own reporters.
Or somebody else on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, primary sources are never going to go away. I mean, a primary source is the person who is involved in the story. So if my house burns down and Boyd comes and does a story on me, I'm the primary source. So primary sources mm-hmm. don't necessarily go away at all, ever.
Right. But if, to use that as an example, I'm running some little cable network news channel here of my own making, but I don't have any money to hire a reporter or anything like that, so I grab a copy of the pilot and I snip the article and I get it wrong.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that that as a news writer, mm-hmm. I would often take a two-page article and parse it down into 15 or 20 seconds worth of headlines. And that's really what I think, for me, the most important job of a news reporter is to put content, of course, into context. But just like Boyd was saying, you're a funnel. You take an enormous amount of complicated information and you make it easy to understand for the reader or the viewer or the listener. That's mm-hmm. your job. And if you don't have the ability to go to resources, to have primary contacts, to have first source reporting, then you can't do a good job. And it's a skill. It's a real skill. And it's taught and it's learned and it's important. And people who are just reading off of the internet, getting some headline with an exclamation point after it, which if there's an exclamation point in the headline, it's fake news.
Oh,
it's that here, easy, here, here.
It's that easy. But yeah, I mean, it really is. It's sad that reporters and the media are under fire these days, because it really is an honorable profession.
I got a thumbs up.
And so going back to where it starts, right? So you said it's a skill you have to be taught. And so it's starting in our schools and mm-hmm. teaching critical thinking as well, but then teaching the art of reporting, whether it's for paper media or TV media, for lack of the specific terms. But it's something that we need to support in our schools, and it's something mm-hmm. increasingly being cut, as are all, you know, art or other electives. The newspaper, once my teacher left, you know, went to nothing, and they actually didn't have a newspaper for a while. They didn't have a yearbook, or at least a very good one, for a couple years. And so we have to support that, right? And then we have to support people to teach that. You have to support the newspapers, and I think it's important for there to be continue to be, in maybe a personal opinion, but continue to be print media as well, or at least to help support the transition and keep that honor that it always had because of necessity, because news didn't travel that fast, and you were forced by just the society's values and opinions to get it right and take your time on it and have something honorable. So supporting that, and the way to support it, like you were saying too, is there's a lot of greed and money driven things, so we'll have to figure out a way to work that into it and say financially we need it to be there.
Is it being taught properly today?
In some rare cases, but I'd say in general, it's you find an occasional good, so you know, teacher that's done it because they love it, even though they're getting paid like nothing. But from the student opinion going through those classes, I know that it's not, and I'm sure these two have firsthand experience on that.
Yeah, even critical thinking, you wonder if that's really being taught anymore in the schools, where that's more important. That's not biased at all. That's just letting you and your experiences and checking many sources helps you come to a conclusion about things that's studied and thought through and maybe more real than anything else.
And it is right. So it is, that's an excellent point. And I think it's fantastic that you can, if you have a good teacher, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. the subject. You can really learn that in a lot of different fashions, often in school or often with experience. It's something in veterinary schools they're trying to create more of, especially in the one I attended, that it's so important to them to have a well-rounded professional that can meet the person where they are and bring together the three conversations and critical think in that fashion specific to the profession. And in college, I feel like the idea of a Renaissance scholar, a scholar that went to college and became a human who was full in that regard, and then went on to pursue a specific technicality. That was a way that college was for a while, and now with shortened degrees or online degrees, we lose a lot of that. So you're losing it there, and then you're losing it, I think, too, where we're not supporting high school, middle school teachers enough. Absolutely. So you get an occasional teacher that, again, does it for their passion, and so kids get it somewhere there or with some other mentor.
Yeah, and you're separating the arts from life, you know, and so many times I feel like in today's world, the artists are relegated to maybe liberal side, and then the working people maybe are relegated to conservative side, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that art is separated from finance or business, because you mentioned the Renaissance, and that was a time when everybody came together and made the world a beautiful place. They had art and culture and music and money and tried to take care of people. I mean, it failed on some level.
But a well-rounded person was kind of the goal in that regard, yeah.
We don't teach humanities anymore. Mm-hmm. The humanities are the first courses that are cut. And the humanities are all about being human. And really, when it comes down to it, honestly, what are we talking about? We're talking about humanity. We're talking about news, and news is just, I'm interested in what happened today, and that's a human thing. There's nothing more human than being curious.
Yeah, that's what happened to people.
Exactly.
That's what it's all.
Exactly.
And one of the things that Wikipedia is not a source, because anyone can put in stuff into Wikipedia, and yet we teach students now that they can use Wikipedia when they do an analysis of something, or online information that isn't backed up. They don't go to primary sources even when they do research papers. They're taught to write for a test, a state test now, and they're told that put in facts that you think are true. Don't worry about them whether they're not really true, because the people reading these are in a hotel room giving you a score, and they can't check your facts anyway. Don't worry about that. So writing becomes a game to get a score on a test to move on to the next grade. It's lost its value that it had in the humanities as a human experience of analyzing things and coming to conclusions that were grounded in logic. And that's a problem we have.
Well, another problem is that people don't know how to write. I mean, you talk about writing, and I think it's a skill that everyone should have. Everyone should know how to write a simple declarative sentence, and that's just not the case anymore. And, you know, it just goes back to the education. When you're teaching kids how to pass a test, you're not teaching kids how to think critically or how to write, and it's sad.
One of the ways it shows up is almost everything you hear in political discussions are ad hominem arguments. It's, he's a bad guy, he's a jerk. Nothing about issues. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. denigrating this guy just to get the effect for some voter influence. And one of the other curious things is I haven't seen anything, any aspect of anything that's going on that doesn't have some sort of economic influence to it, usually not very good. This is a fantastic bias, and it's being heavily accentuated by characteristics that are published. 98% of all the money in the U.S. is held by the 1%, and everybody else has, you know, the middle class is disappearing, blah, blah, blah. The whole business is just bad, and it's all economic stuff. And there doesn't seem to be anything right now that's going to cure that, that's going to allow for anything useful to happen so that people can get back to the point where rationality is pretty common, and news, which is really news, makes some sort of effect.
Have we come to the point where real news is gone? Are we into nothing but stories that are biased and stories that are paid for?
Well, real news can be biased. You can present real news for a specific purpose.
Right.
I think there's still real news out there, and I think that, you know, I have hope. I still have hope. I mean, as I say, I'm careful about the sources that I read and that I use, and I tend to go and double check my sources because that's what I was trained to do. But I think that real news is still out there. It's just a little bit more difficult to identify these days. That's all.
I agree. I'm hopeful. I feel like as long as we have our freedoms and we have the freedom to report and learn and report even the wrong stuff, but they don't infringe upon that, right? Like some people have honestly been trying to do, is saying, don't listen to that, or trying to shut people out of meetings, and there's been some of that happening. But as a country, if we retain that freedom of speech, I feel like there will always be real news as long as you're careful. It's when that right is infringed upon, then we need to step up and say enough. And we might need to say that now.
What about some foreign entity or some entity from wherever that comes in and essentially over a period of time changes the landscape?
I'm appalled that more people aren't upset about that. even the possibility of that, or even people in power declaring, please, please dig into this. And again, I don't like to get too political or name names, but I am really appalled that there aren't more marches in the streets. Just for, not, you know, there's still the investigation and such, and not to go into what the conclusion is going to be, but the fact that it's even a discussion. I mean, even 10 years ago, maybe longer, but you wouldn't even consider if there was even we would declare an emergency on that, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty young, but I feel like I'm nervous. I don't know how you guys feel about it too, but yeah.
Well, even today, I see things on Facebook that are sent to me or that are sourced from RT News, and RT means Russia Today, and Russia Today is a propaganda arm of the Russian government, and it's stunning to me that people still use that as a primary source. It's stunning to me.
Well, they had some neat things too. I mean, you know, the other day I saw a neat little video on how to get a fish through the ice when the hole's too small. And so, I mean, you know, they do offer a lot of other things. Interestingly, though, now what I've discovered when I've been watching YouTube and I clicked on something that looked interesting and then I saw the RT, well, there's also a little banner that says that RT is Russian television and supported by the Russian government. And it's nice to see that disclaimer. So
you will know that all news is fake news when it's controlled by the government.
Yes, I think it should be independent. That's a flag for me too. I like what you're saying, that they at least, okay, it's not just RT, what's RT? It's actually, okay, I know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's good. But yeah, that ties into what Boyd said, what I was saying earlier, that I think news should be independent of the government, for sure.
Or at least identified as to where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And that may be one of the good signs that we see, is that people are labeling stuff for what it really is, because otherwise you don't know where it comes from. But I think the thing that I'm trying to allude to here is that I know that when dictators want to take control, one of the first things they want to do is squash the press.
Yeah.
And
or call it fake news.
Or call it fake news. Exactly. So that label itself, to a lot of people, roughly a third of the country, means, okay, don't pay any attention to this, folks. There's real news over here in our particular little thing. And I find that dangerous.
Ben Franklin said that a free and open press is necessary for democracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have a free and open press. And when you have the President of the United States pointing to members of the press and calling them frauds, calling them liars and calling them frauds in front of the country, it is disturbing to me on multiple levels.
Of course, yes. Trump wasn't the only one to do that, but I think by and large, most of the other presidencies have respected
it. I believe Richard Nixon did it during Watergate as well.
But do you think that now that this big deal about Facebook and the way it was manipulated and the thing with the election and how it's manipulated, don't you think that maybe people now are waking up a little bit more and not trusting, like certainly Facebook, but not trusting what they read on the internet and trying to get more sources and things? Don't you think those stories have helped?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
it's true. However, and when it comes to analyzing news, you got to give people individual responsibility. You have to.
You're talking about the end user, the reader, the one who's actually assimilating the information.
Yep.
Yeah,
see, I think everybody's always had to sort of figure out between the lines. Boyd was talking earlier about most large cities had two newspapers, and there was always a morning paper and an afternoon paper. And often the morning paper was skewed maybe right, and the afternoon paper maybe skewed a little bit left. So people had a choice, and they knew where they were getting the news, but the headlines were always the same. And that's where I keep going, is that news is news is news. If it's important to you, if it affects you, if it affects the community, then that's news. You know, dog bites man isn't news, but man bites dog is news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get people in the tent, you want to get them to read the paper, so you'll do a provocative headline, but the meat of the story really generally is the same if there are credible reporters on it.
And what about the things that aren't covered? You know, how do we know what's not being covered and needs to be addressed? You know, so many things. So
that goes back a little bit to what Boyd was saying a few minutes ago, in that he goes to the town meeting and they talk for 2 hours. And he's got 12 pages full of notes, and only one page is going to fit in a story. And so he essentially becomes the first filter of information, and we have to trust Boyd that he's filtering the right information and telling us what we need to know about the town meeting and not hide any of the facts that we really want to know.
I love when things come full circle, because you reminded me of back when we were talking about professionalism and when we're, so these, the people that we're trusting for this, and right, so we're entrusting that to Boyd and his expertise and what he's been trained and his education, and how he's going to do it is going to be a little different than another reporter, but you're trusting that they were educated in a way that of honor and based in scholarship and in a university setting, essentially, just like I would as a veterinarian, just like you would trust me to do medicine, and you wouldn't be able to diagnose yourself from Dr. Google credibly, and not to say you're not intelligent, but you're training, right? I was trained 8 years to take this information from what you're telling me and what medicine's telling me and my blood tests are doing and say, based on this and my education, here's the result. And I'm going to constantly, I need to continually educate myself, and it's a constant learning curve in my profession to learn the newest procedure, the newest blood test. But you're trusting me to do that because you can't go on Dr. Google and do it yourself. And it's just like you're trusting Boyd to do that, not trusting some guy on the internet who wasn't trained, who's making a story for you. Does that make sense?
It does, but the challenge is that you have a t-shirt on that says DVM on it, right, Jesse? So I can go to a meeting and present myself as a member of the press and not have any kind of alphabet soup behind my name, showing that I've been trained, showing that I've been experienced in doing this. So, and that's the challenge, is that you've got a lot of citizen reporters these days, and a lot of people, and again, I'm going to go back to TV news, because TV news started us down this road. There are a lot of people who were chosen to deliver the news to you, not because they were good reporters, but because they were good readers and because they looked pleasant. And again, it goes back to inviting someone into your home. So, you know, they had the they were able to, they weren't necessarily Walter Cronkite, they didn't have his creds, but But they did have the power of the newsroom and reporters behind them. But again, it's just such a slippery slope, right?
Oh, darn, I thought I had it all figured out.
And again, doing news is much more communal than doing medicine. When I'm covering things, I'm never alone. And I'm aware that the public is looking at what I do. And I don't do the headlines. I don't do the part that says buy this or read this. I do the part that says I was at the meeting and this is what happened, this is what they said, and I may have had to go back over the tape 3 times to get the quotation right and listen to that tape, or call somebody back and say, I think you said this, is this actually what you said, to make sure that I'm getting it right. Because it's a communal thing, especially at a county level. There's people at that meeting that care about what happens at a meeting, whether it's the Planning Commission, the Port, Gold Beach City Council, and they're counting on me to get it right from what they saw too. So if I make a big deal out of something that didn't matter and ignore something that was a big deal, I'm going to get called on that. And part of my job's not to get called on that.
Fact checking. How do we know the fact checkers are correct?
Go to media bias. you have to trust at least some primary sources, and I always go to media bias.
Snopes?
I go to Snopes too, but I usually check a couple of them actually. And Snopes is usually good for like the urban myth kind of stuff. But if I see something from a source that I don't recognize, I will always check it to see, you know, when was it established? If it was established a year ago, maybe not so reputable.
Okay. I know that I've had a lot of people who have asked me when I said, well, I ran this through Snopes, and they fired back, well, how do you know they're right? And and that's part of the big question of how do you...
Trust.
Okay. Well, all right. So let me ask this. First of all, I'll quickly tell a story. I was on a street corner, and there was a march going on. And this guy came up to me, and he stood by me, and he says, what is this? And so I told him, well, it's a march for whatever it was. And he said, well, I don't know that I really support that. And he started to go a little bit about what his particular perspective was on it. And then he said something that that really kind of took me by surprise. He said, well, you know, the economy's better now than it's ever been. And I said, no, actually, that's not correct. I said, the economy was best when Bill Clinton was in office. And so he kind of blew that one off. And then I asked him, I said, so where do you get your news? And he said, oh, I don't trust any of these whatever news organizations. And he rattled off a couple of them. And then he says, I get my news from this TV station in Israel. And I thought for a minute, and I thought, okay, I wonder how reliable they are. So as he was leaving, I said to him, I said, you know, the only thing that I would say to you is when you're going to absorb information about what you think is out there in the world, go to as many different sources as you possibly can. Because if you go for more than one, the chances are pretty good you'll run across a different point of view. And then if you've got 3 or 4 in there to juggle around, maybe you might come to some sort of conclusion that is not necessarily way off base. So the question is to the group here is, what would you recommend as far as how should I go about making sure that I'm getting real news?
Well, I think it's important to check a lot of different news. I do use Facebook. I have BBC's Facebook page. I have Fox News. I have local ones from my hometowns and different cities I've lived in. And but mostly I read the New York Times and the Washington Post. And, you know, I don't watch Fox News, but I do read their news feed quite often. You know, I just... kind of form my opinion kind of from all of that information. And at the same time, I don't trust my opinion 100%. I like to say, well, this is what I've heard. This is my experience. This is me, you know, talking to you. But I don't like to say, this is it. You know, mm-hmm. I've got the answer. This is facts. This is truth. Because I don't believe, I think it's so relative in so many cases. So I try not to get everything I know is like a sledgehammer that this is the right thing. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. I try to avoid getting any of my news on social media, and I've actually redone my settings now so I don't get any of that stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. My Facebook is for my friends who have bought a new house and are excited. What I've started to do, and I've been doing it for a while, is I try to get even below the media to the media sources. So I will read Reuters and Associated Press and UPI. And there's a new one out there that's from France, and I can't remember the name of it right now, AFP, I think. So I try to read the news feeds that send the facts to the newspapers before even the newspapers get to them.
One of the very obvious things is if you look at a source and they immediately start discrediting everybody else, that's kind of an obvious thing.
Or the exclamation point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've always been interested. I'm curious. So if I see a story that interests me, if there's a headline that interests me, I'll dig, and I'll look for all the little nuances and try and figure out exactly what's going on. But I agree with Boyd. You get it from the primary sources, and UPI and AP and Reuters are all good sources. Frankly, Al Jazeera does some great reporting, but because it's an Arabic name, it's not really. It doesn't get a lot of respect here, but Al Jazeera does some really, really good reporting.
Yeah, and I think those are all great methods combined together. You know, just doubt yourself. I think you never have a good conversation if you're absolute on something. You want to open and meet people where they are and be open to change yourself. And then find the sources, like you guys were saying, even before it gets to the media. Also, though, I work 50 hours a week, sometimes 60, and I need help. And luckily, I have people in my life that really like to read a lot, and they get me to the sources where I can then go and form my own opinion. And it's hard. It's hard to find those sometimes if you're not trained in it as well. So always ask friends and see where they're going, and you know, get multiple opinions on where to go.
But facts are facts. Again, they're not alternative facts. They're facts. There was a fire today is a fact. You know, there are facts that are facts.
And yeah, apples
but
some and apples.
Some of it's kind of nebulous.
Well, in these days, there's so much speculation because there's not a lot of hard news that's coming out, and there are so many questions that we have about what's going on in our government right now that. That make it really speculative, and it's hard to figure out where the real news is.
So we owe it to ourselves to be even more vigilant in our pursuit of
we
news
owe it
because
to Ben
a lot's
Franklin.
Going on.
Yep.
Yeah, the foundation of democracy is a good free press, and so when you hear somebody say fake news, I guess you should. So that brings us to the final question: is what do you think? Do you think KCIW is a reliable source for news?
Yes, my goodness.
Well, at least
not
in
yet.
This room.
I gotta look into it a little bit.
Well, okay, so that kind of wraps it up for us today on this what is real news question. I'm Dan.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Boyd.
I'm Lori.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Mary.
And keep those cards and letters coming in. Discussion at Brookings Cafe here on KCIW.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.